But you need a little courage in Washington first.
Yeah, but at the end of it, don't you think, at some point, and I've been saying this for years, at some point we have to get people who drive their cars to understand that the price of gasoline, the price of transportation is much higher than we're actually paying at the pump. And I got to tell you, I think if you made the true costs right out in front, I think you would have a better environment for people going, maybe we need alternatives like public transportation.
Well, you know, what's interesting is... and this shows you how, you know, people always say, oh, the voters aren't paying attention. They're actually really paying attention. And the polling really shows that the voters don't trust Washington. Best example of that is if you go into a typical city in a major metropolitan area and tell them that you're going to raise their local taxes, sales tax, gas tax, whatever it might be, and that money is going to be used to replace Bridge A and Bridge B, and to expand into new light rail that helps deal with congestion on the highways, they're supporting those initiatives 7-8 out of every 10 times. But when you, in the same poll, ask them whether we should send more money to Washington through a federal fuels tax, they oppose it overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
It's because they don't trust the politicians to do the right thing. Yeah. You blame them?
No, I don't. I don't blame them at all. And I also don't blame the redistributive nature of what happens in Washington, where you see a lot of money going from industrial states and northeastern states to a lot of southern states that then vote against all of the things that we need to get done.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's right. You know, I think it's funny. It has everything to do with infrastructure, but not about, you know, our transportation dollars. And that is the pettiness that is setting in Washington makes me ashamed to wake up sometimes in the morning and go to work in D.C., which is to have, like, you know, Gulf Coast Republicans vote against money for the Northeast after the horrific Sandy storm.
Right.
But then to have the arrogance of questioning anyone that would vote against any money to deal with the infrastructure needs of the Gulf Coast states when they get hit by a hurricane just shows you how brain dead the politics has gotten. And the reason this is relevant is because one of the biggest tasks that American policy leaders have right now that they're not doing a very good job of, it's not just about replacing bridges that are getting old and possibly going to fall down. It's about dealing with the fact that we live in a new era. The climate that we are dealing with around the world, literally the climate, is creating more and more, you know, severe storms like Katrina and Sandy. And as a result, infrastructure resiliency is becoming the buzzword in Washington. The problem they're not willing to pay for. What does that mean? That means making sure that we build infrastructure that's good enough to deal with the needs of today, both from an economic perspective but also a safety perspective, because the storms are getting bigger and grander, and our infrastructure is getting wiped out every time we have a massive storm hit a particular region of the United States.
That's an excellent point. And it's, I often quote Thomas Friedman, who I'm not a huge fan of, but yeah. He said, you know, in this country, we used to build up to our needs, up to technology, and then, you know, pushing that envelope a little bit further. And he, you know, what he said is, you know, you go from Beijing to LAX, it's like going from the Jetsons to the Flintstones, because we haven't done those things. We haven't invested up to today's technology, which highlights exactly what you're saying.
No, no doubt. And what's sort of lost in the conversation is, so you've got these execs and some of these brilliant engineers and these other minds behind this digital boom we've seen across America and the world, where they are literally running the economy out of the palm of your hands with smartphones and iPads. And those same people that are literally re-engineering the economy that you and I live in, they get into an airplane that flies in 1950s air traffic control technology because we decided one day, let's stop investing in aviation. And think about it this way. We invented aviation,
yeah.
Right? If it wasn't for the Wright brothers, we wouldn't have aviation in this country and in the world, and now we've fallen behind the rest of the world. I mean, literally, we have one of the oldest aircraft control systems in the modern world because we just stopped investing in it. And we still use 60-year-old technology.
Yeah, you can go back to Ronald Reagan for a lot of that. And because to me, I'm remembering the Patco strike. It was over that very point where this antiquated equipment, this outdated stuff, it's unsafe, it's not good. And the strike was really over. Hey, we want to be investing up the technology.
Right, no doubt. And ironically, that liberal Ronald Reagan actually supported gas tax increases to invest in infrastructure. That was sort of crazy about it. As anti-union as he was and as responsible as he and his administration was for going after the aircraft controllers, breaking the union, and setting back our aircraft control system for at least half a generation, during the Reagan era, major increases in infrastructure investment occurred because he actually supported a gas tax increase. He'd be run out of his own party today.
Oh.